Good evening and welcome to the Dome Patrol United's Premier League podcast. Bit of a special show we've got lined up tonight as we are recording this on Thursday night, the night before Euro 2020 starts. Yes, I know it's 2021, but for some reason, I think UEFA have skimped out on all the merchandising. They've kept it as Euro 2020 so they didn't have to spend any more money on creating the mugs and the scarves and the t-shirts for it. So yeah, we haven't been on air for a while, but Ben and I decided as it's a tournament summer, which it normally wouldn't be, we'd get together and give a little bit of a Dome Patrol preview of Euro 2020. Ben, welcome to the show. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, it's good. Good to be recording again. Did a Pelican Plunge with Jason the other night. That was a Pelican Plunge slash sort of Bad Batch episode. We thoroughly enjoyed. But yeah, it's summertime, lockdown's beginning to ease a little bit. It's
nearly over.
The end is in sight, and we've got a summer tournament with the finals being played at Wembley. You know, it's coming home.
is that a bit of a hat tip to your eventual winner prediction that we're going to do somewhere during the show?
Maybe, maybe not. You'll have to find out.
No spoilers yet. No spoilers yet.
But no, it's great to have a summer competition to look forward to. It's great to be talking football again. We can just put out the Champions League final and just put it at the back of my head now, so I don't want to talk about that. not going to lie, this show is going to be extremely biased towards the team that, well, I think me and you are supporting. So if you don't look at us if you want any content about Wales or Scotland, because you're going to get none of it at all. I hope they lose every game 6-0 in this competition, and I cannot just wait till we play Scotland next Friday. That is the game I just can't wait.
Yeah, well, Ben and I, friend of the show Mark Daly, has a ticket for that game.
He does, yeah. I'm very jealous.
Very jealous. So right, I suppose we better get cracking. What we're going to do is we're going to go through each of the groups and kind of not preview the group, but kind of just talk about the teams in the group and then pick our first and second in the group for each of them. Once we've gone through the groups, we'll then talk about who we think are going to be, who's going to win the Golden Boot, top goal scorer, who's going to win player of the tournament, which team we think is going to shit the bed, the team that everybody thinks is going to do well but doesn't, and then we're going to pick our semi-finalists before the tournament starts. It's our intention to record after every round of fixtures, so we'll be recording again next Tuesday after the France-Germany game, which I think is next Tuesday night, isn't it? Yeah, that's going to be a cracking game.
That's going to be a great game.
So we'll record after that and kind of review the first round of fixtures. And Group A. Group A is Italy, Switzerland, Turkey and Wales. Now, Italy, Turkey kicks off the tournament tomorrow night, which I can't wait for because it means football's on TV every night for the next 3 weeks. Your thoughts on this group?
Well, so like the Euros, the last Euros we had, the group stage has changed now. It's not just the first two teams that go through. It's the four best third place teams also make knockouts.
So it's 24 teams in the tournament and they need 16 to qualify for the round of 16.
Yeah.
So you have the first and the second from each of the six groups and then the four best third place teams.
Yeah, and that's how Portugal got to the final and won it last year. They came third in their group and they you know, any other old Euros would have been knocked out. But going back to this group, I think Italy, after the disappointment of not qualifying for the 2018 World Cup, they have completely rebuilt their squad, got a couple of good young players in there. Their qualifying record, I think they won every game. They're looking really strong coming into it. You always know you're going to get a very good, solid defence out of an Italian team. Have they got enough firepower going forward to win the competition? I probably don't think so, but I fully expect them to win the group. My second place team, I think you might be surprised here, is Turkey. I think Turkey are a dark horse of this competition. I think they've got some very good technical players.
And they've got a goal scorer.
And they've got a goal scorer. And that's what I think you need to carry yourself in a summer competition is you need a goal scorer.
Yeah. No, you do. You do. I'm with you. Italy are going to win the group. They're going to win all three games, I suspect. I mean, they've got... I mean, Italy-Turkey, when that was first announced as being the opening game of the tournament, you're kind of like, not really sure. But actually, it's got the potential to be a really good game. Turkey, like you said, have got some really good technical players. They've got a genuine goal scorer up front. And I think they could cause the Italians some problems. I think Italy, Turkey are going to be first and second in that group. But for third place, it's going to be between Switzerland and Wales. Now, Ben, you've already said that you think Wales are going to lose 6-0 every game. So I'm going to take it. You're going to take Switzerland for third place in that group.
Yeah. I'm not just saying this as an English fan and a rivalry against the Welsh. I do genuinely think Wales will lose every game in this group.
They're not the same team they were in 2016, are they?
Aaron Ramsey's struggling with fitness. Gareth Bale isn't the Gareth Bale that he was, even though he did show glimpse towards the end of the season when it was dead rubber games. They have the whole off the field fiasco going on with Ryan Giggs. I just think they're going to be, lose all three games.
Well, they're playing two of their games in Azerbaiján as well, which is 6 hours from here.
Yeah, mental.
So the game kicks off on Saturday, Wales kick off, 2 p.m. our time. I think it's 8 p.m.
In
Azerbaijan. So they play their first two games in Azerbaijan and then they play in Rome. So they've got to deal with a time difference there as well. Because, but it's going to be a 5 hour time difference that they have to contend with. So,
I think they're setting up base in Baku, aren't they, Wales?
I think that's where their training camp
is. Yeah. So,
I think so.
Yeah. But... It's mental, but no, I that's Group A for me. I'm going to go with Italy, Turkey, Switzerland, Wales.
I agree. I think that's going to be the order in Group A. Group B. I was going to say that Group B is probably the most boring group in the tournament, but then I've just seen Group C. So I'll hold off on the most boring group in the tournament. So Group B is Belgium, Denmark, Finland, and Russia.
Yeah.
There's only one winner.
Yeah. Belgium could potentially, wouldn't surprise me. You see Belgium start slowly in this and in this competition, in this group. But build momentum, have used these games as kind of warm up games for the knockout rounds. I can see them doing that. Belgium, the only clear winners for me. Then I think it's between Denmark and Russia for second or third, and then I think Finland will come bottom.
Yeah, I mean, talent wise, Belgium are second only to France, I think, in terms of a squad.
No, I think Belgium are probably third or fourth. There's a couple of teams. We'll get to them. Over this Belgium team, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'd have the talent pool of the English players that we've got there. I'd also probably have Portugal ahead of them as well. I think Portugal have got an incredible young team, spearheaded by Cristiano Ronaldo.
João Felix,
Ronaldo, Bruno Fernandes, Cancelo. They've got an incredible team. Ruben Neves, Rui Patricio. I'd have them a little bit more, but
okay.
Belgium.
Well, this group is Belgium's to lose.
They've got
the best team in this group. I actually think it'll be Belgium, Denmark, Russia, Finland. I think Denmark, because Denmark get to play two of their games in Copenhagen.
I don't like this Euros because of this. I'd rather just be all in one country. And who fucking hell, there's a pandemic going on around the world and we're playing this game all over the place. When they were talking about moving it all to one country a couple of months ago, I just really don't get why they didn't do that. This is a bit of a stupid idea.
Yeah, it is. But Yeah, I think this is where the home advantage is going to come in for certain teams, which we'll come on to when we get to England's group.
Yeah.
Because yeah, we'll come on to that when we get to it. So yeah, I think we're in agreement. The Belgium are going to win that league, win that group. Sorry.
Yeah.
Then I think Denmark, Russia, Finland. Russia will qualify as one of the best third place teams, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I think they will. So Group C. Yeah, I don't even know where to start with this one. Austria, Holland, North Macedonia. I don't even think there is a South Macedonia, to be honest. I've been there and it was only Macedonia when I went. And the Ukraine. Now, if the Ukraine still exists by the time the tournament starts, because they've upset the Russians with their shirt. To anybody who doesn't know, the Ukrainians have released a new shirt for the tournament that contains an outline of the map of Ukraine on the front of the shirt. Now, back in 2013 or 2014, Russia invaded an area called Crimea, which Ukraine claimed to claim sovereignty for. Russia also claimed sovereignty for it, but Ukraine on this shirt have put Crimea in the map as part of Ukraine. Now, they've been told today...
I wish they were in the same group.
Yeah, I know. It'd be good, wouldn't it? But, however, they've been told by UEFA today that they cannot wear that shirt during the tournament because it contains a political statement or, you know, something political about it.
There's going to be a lot of politics around this year, right?
So they've had to... Well, we'll talk about that at the end. So they've had to take this off. But this group... If Holland don't win this group, winning all three games, then something is wrong.
Yeah.
Holland have got a pretty good team this year, I think. Memphis Depay is their main striker.
They've lost Donny van de Beek, though. That's a big... Yeah.
It's a big blow for them, yeah. But, you know, he's been injured for 3 months and not, you know, was never reported. So, it's a shame. But, you know, Holland should win that group. I think Ukraine might come second, Austria third, and Macedonia will be fourth in that group.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, we'll go with that.
But there's not really much to say about that group, is there? It's just...
No.
Yeah. Not exciting at all. Let's get on to the main group. So, Group D... Now, we may spend a little bit more time talking about Group D. Group D is Croatia, Czech Republic, England, and Scotland.
Who?
So, let's just get straight to it. England are going to win the group, right?
No.
I think they're going to win the group because they're the strongest team in there. Whether they should win the group or not is a debate.
I think they will... I reckon they'll come second.
Who?
In the group. I think Croatia win the group.
They're not the team they were.
I get the saying they're not the team they were, but I just see... I know I just said Scotland will lose every game 6-0. Okay, let me just get into my thing with England at the moment. Okay. And you know where I stand on Gareth Southgate as a coach. And
yeah, you stand in the wrong place.
I don't stand in the wrong place. I stand in the fact that I think he's got one of the best young, talented squads in Europe, and he can't pick a good team with them. He can't get them playing. What you saw that in the warm up games, how terrible they were.
Half a team, boring.
I do understand that, but. I don't know. I just think they're very too defensive. I reckon. I think they're a bit of a set piece team. I think the 2018 World Cup was a bit of a full storm with the teams that we beat on the way to the semi final. Came up against one half decent team in the semis that we should have beaten, and we lost. So I think they'll come second. I'm hoping they come second. My own personal reasons. So, I'm hoping they come second.
Well, yeah. So okay then. So let's go through the games. So Croatia on Sunday, score?
Draw, 1-1.
Okay. Then we play Scotland next Friday.
6-0.
And then we play the Czech Republic the Tuesday after.
2-1.
2-1. Okay. So England got home advantage.
Yeah.
If they win the group,
Apart from the Czech Republic games, not is it?
Yeah, it is. Yep. Yeah. If England win the group, they play their quarter final away from Wembley. Otherwise, every single England game is at Wembley if they win the group.
Yeah.
That's, you can't, I mean, I know it's not going to be a full Wembley. It's 25,000, isn't it, I think?
Well, we'll see what happens after June 21st.
Yeah. I don't think you can understate that. England do not lose many games at Wembley. They just don't.
That is true.
We've beaten Spain there recently. We've beaten Germany there recently. We've beaten Belgium there recently.
Yeah, that is true.
You know, and that was all under Southgate. And, you know, I do understand.
Friendlies.
I do understand. We won away in Spain in a Nations League game.
Mm.
You know, call it a glorified friendly if you want. But we went to Spain and we were 3-0 up after 20 minutes.
So we know that Southgate's going to be playing this three at the back, don't we?
It's looking likely at the moment, if Harry Maguire doesn't play Sunday, that he'll play three at the back, and it'll be Luke Shaw, John Stones and Kyle Walker. Those will be your three centre backs.
You've got two full backs there playing as
You've got Luke Shaw, who's played left centre back for United, and you've also got Kyle Walker, who played right centre back in the World Cup.
I think he's going to go three at the back, and it's going to annoy me, but I think this is where he's going to go. He's going to go Pickford in goal, isn't he?
That's going to annoy you straight off the bat.
That's once again annoys you straight away. And I think the three centre halves, I would personally have. Reece James, right side of centre half, with Stones. I probably will go Shaw because Mings looks. Do you know what?
Mings is a walking disaster.
I'd probably actually throw Ben White in there.
If he plays, he'll play right centre back.
Yeah, that's the only thing. You need a left footer on that left side, don't you? So it probably will be Shaw, and then he'll put Chilwell as left wing back, and then I'll do right wing back, probably Trippier.
It'll be Trippier. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't play Kyle Walker?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
I wouldn't play Kyle Walker.
So are you going 3-4-1-2? 3-4-1-2?
So.
Or 3-5-2?
Because
I don't think he's going to. 3-4-3.
Yeah, 3-4-3, I think.
Because Harry Kane, if he's going to be he's going to start. Obviously, he's the captain.
Yeah,
he needs pace.
Either side. And this is the problem where you've got too many good technical players, but you need a bit of speed in there. So I would personally I'll go 3-4-3. So then I've got it's got my three centre halves of Shaw, Stones, and Reece James, Trippier and Chilwell as my wing backs. My two central midfielders, I will go for Declan Rice and Jude Bellingham. Bellingham's got to play.
I think he'll start Calvin Phillips.
That's my problem there. That is a two
defensive
setup.
I don't disagree, but I think because Calvin Phillips has played a lot for Southgate so far, so I think Calvin Phillips
has. But it's too defensive. If you're going up against a France, then yeah, I can see that. I can say, okay, good idea. Yeah, but make sure you have the pace going forward to hit them on the counter-attack. But no, a game like Croatia, we should be trying to dictate the ball. Bellingham, it was sensational for Dortmund. This is what people, you know, because he wasn't playing in the Premier League. Too many people have seen him. But he was sensational for Dortmund.
Yeah, he's really good.
Absolutely.
Really good.
Sensational. So he's got to play. That's my five, as you want to say, midfield and the wing backs. The front line then.
It's going to be Kane, isn't it?
Kane.
You're going to need one of Rashford or Sancho for pace.
I think I'd go Kane, Sancho, and then Foden. Foden. Oh, Grealish. Oh, this is it. It's Grealish, Mount, or Foden.
Yeah, so I think it could be if he's going to play Mount, then Mount will play the number 10, won't he? He'll play behind a front two, and if he plays behind a front two, it'll be Kane and Rashford as your two strikers.
See, this
Sancho's not a striker, Sterling's not a striker, Calvert-Lewin's not very good.
Yeah, so for me, my at so the this, I would, do you know what? Actually, going back to that, I wouldn't be surprised. He's not going to do it, but I wouldn't be surprised if you see Bukayo Saka out there. He won't do it, but I wouldn't be surprised because he does like Bukayo Saka, but he's had injury problems.
If he plays, he may play left wing back.
Yes. Yeah, he's very. That's why I think he's gone to the tournaments. He's very versatile.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He's going to be in the England team for years, mate. He's going to be in the England team for years.
Yeah. The team I would act if I was the manager going into the game, this is, I would definitely, I'd still play a, I'd go for a 4-2-3-1. That's the formation I would go for.
Yeah, yeah. If Maguire's fit, I think that's what he will go for.
Yeah. So obviously, if he's fit, I'd go for Pickford and go, unfortunately. I'd probably go Reece James at right back.
Stones and Maguire.
Stones and Maguire, but I'd go Stones and White if Maguire's not fit. I really do like Ben White. Left back, I'd probably...
Ben White's not going to be at Brighton next season.
No, he's not. No, he's not. There's already links coming out today linking with multiple Premier League clubs.
Now, you might think this is being biased. I play Luke Shaw.
No, I would probably go Luke Shaw as well.
Has been sensational. Yeah, he's been sensational this year.
Yeah, I probably will go with that. Depending on your position, I think if you've got a team like France or something like that, I probably would play a Luke Shaw over Chilwell. I think he's better defensively. My midfield two, again, would be Rice and Bellingham. And then on the right, Sancho. Number 10, I would have Foden. And on the left-hand side, I'd have Grealish.
And then Kane is your spearhead. And
Kane is spearhead.
Yeah, so you've got your pace. You've got your pace from Sancho.
Sancho.
You've got Foden, who I think Foden could be the star of the tournament. Especially because of what he's done to his hair.
Oh, let's talk about that.
Right, so what a legend. So for people who... You know, Euro 96 was one of the best tournaments that England have ever had. It was hosted in England, and England had Paul Gascoigne in midfield. Before the tournament, he bleached his hair blonde.
Slim Shady.
Like Eminem. So, and what's Phil Foden done? Phil Foden's done exactly the same before this tournament. And he knows he's done it because he talked about it in the interview. He said, Gazza did it. Why shouldn't I? If people want to compare me to Gazza, let me look like Gazza. So
I think just don't go and take a fishing line to a serial killer.
That might need a podcast all of its own, mate. That story.
That's the sort of story that would end up on Taking Me Over.
Yeah, probably would actually. Yeah, probably would.
That's a Taking Me Over story. It is.
So right. So, are you confident about England's chances? So you don't think England can win it? Can England win this tournament?
Yes, 100%. They've got the players. Have they got the capable manager who's going to pick the right formation and pick the right players on the pitch? I the jury's still out for me.
I hope he proves you wrong.
I said, why? 100%. I really hope he proves you wrong. I'm not sitting here hating. I'm not a Gareth Southgate hater. I think he's a good, credible bloke. He's a nice guy. I wish him success, but I'm just not sure. And I think if England don't get past the round of 16, I think they should fire him.
I think if England don't get past the round of 16, he will be fired. I think he will.
I don't agree with international managers on long-term contracts. I think they should be rolling each tournament. Prove out what you've done to me in a tournament.
He's under contract until after the next World Cup, isn't he?
Well, I think it's wrong.
Well, the next World Cup's really next year. Oh, forget that. It's only 16 months away, the next World Cup.
It is, yeah. That's
Winter mad. World Cup. Well, we'll come to that next December.
Next in 18 months,
and how scandalous that is. But so prediction for your group then. I'm going to go England, Scotland, Croatia, Czech Republic.
No, I'm going to go England, Czech Republic, Scotland.
I may just have tipped my hat to the team I think who are going to struggle and be the... my shit the bed team, by the way, there. I think I may have just tipped my hat.
What, Croatia?
Yep, I think they are old and done for.
I've got them in my work.
Come 4 o'clock. Come 4 o'clock on Sunday when they've beaten us. I might have egg on my face here, but anyway.
Yeah, well, they got that Osage who looks a hell of a player. He played for Zagreb. He looks a hell of a decent player.
Yeah. We'll see, mate. We'll see. So interesting. We've got a bit of a difference of opinion there. I just think For some reason, I've just got a feeling Scotland are going to come second. They're going to lose to us, but I think they might win the other two games because they're both at Hampden.
Yeah, but it depends on the poisonous dwarf, Nicola Sturgeon, how many people she gets into the stadium.
No, true. That's not our problem, though.
That's not our problem.
Group E, Poland, Slovakia, Spain, Sweden. Spain are going to win the group.
Sweden second. Oh, okay.
Ooh. So I would have said Sweden had Zlatan been fit because he came out of retirement but then got injured, didn't he? So he's not playing.
They don't need Zlatan.
Mm.
They've got a young striker by the name of Alexander Isak.
Isaksson, yeah. Sweden, for me, are the Burnley of international football.
Yeah, I get that.
Boring, dull, annoying.
Yeah.
They're unwatchable sometimes.
Yeah, I get that.
And I just think Poland have got the goal scorer. They've got Lewandowski, haven't they?
That is true.
And I think he will score the goals that will get them second place in that group.
Okay, fair enough. I will go with Sweden.
Still. Yeah. We're both saying Slovakia are going to be last, though, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and now we come to... There's always a group of death in a tournament. A group of death. And who would have thought that the group of death would contain Hungary? So, <Yeah. laughs> group F is France, Germany, Hungary, and Portugal. So that's three of the top six teams in Europe.
Yeah.
All in one group.
Yeah.
Pick a winner out of that.
France.
I think France too.
France, Portugal, Germany.
France have got the best team in the World Cup. Their starting 11 is ridiculous.
France are a joke.
Yeah.
They're a joke.
Yeah, they're ridiculous.
Did you see their team they put out the other day? It was like Lloris, Pavard, Kimpembe, Varane, Hernandez. Then they had
Pogba and Kante,
Tolisso, Griezmann, Mbappe, Benzema. What the fuck is that all about?
It's like the Harlem Globetrotters, isn't it?
you've got people like Thomas Lamar, Kingsley Coman on the bench, Olivier Giroud on the bench, who's just always scores a hat load for France.
Yeah.
This is the way the system's set up for him.
Yeah.
Ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous, that team. And the only people that will beat the French is themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
They're the only ones that will beat themselves. Otherwise, they run away with the competition.
They do have a habit of dropping the ball, don't they? Arguing, infighting.
Yeah. Well, you've seen some of the headlines come out today with Mbappe and Giroud apparently arguing. And I thought, here we go. This is the start already. The French are... All you need to do is throw Nicolas Anelka in there now and watch it all explode.
Yeah. So you think France, Portugal, Germany, Hungary, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. Now, Germany, they could be good.
They could be.
They've got some good young players, but they're not the force they were.
No, they're not. But this is it with Germany. They are just a factory for. They are just a factory for young players. They're just one of the under-21, Euros. And I thought, I don't know. I'm going to have a look at that team and see what players I recognise. And
hardly any
players I recognise. I was like, they're going to be
very
good. But they've got some good players. Like, look, let's be honest, they've still got Serge Gnabry. They've still got Goretzka, Gundogan. You know, Kimmich, Kroos is still there. They've got that Jamal Musiala, who could have played for England.
Yep.
They've got Sane. They've got Müller still, Volland, Werner, Havertz. That's the only thing I think up top they might struggle, but they'll get the goals from the wide positions with Gnabry and
Thomas Müller always scores goals in tournaments, mate. He's some kind of weirdo for that. He just always ends up scoring.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think in that group, they're going to struggle to come in the top two.
I think they'll... Yeah, I think so. I really like Portugal's team. I really like Portugal.
Yeah.
The defending champions, people forget.
That was five years ago now, wasn't it? Yeah, they beat France in France, didn't they? So as we explained before, the top two teams in each group go through, and then the best third place teams. Now, because of that, usually when you do a tournament, the winner of Group A will play the runner up in Group B, and the winner of Group B will play the runner up in Group A. That's not quite the case
It's all over
this
place.
Year. So let's just take England, for example, because this is the only one I've really looked at. So England, if they win Group D, will play the third place team if it comes from Group F.
That's mental.
So England will play France, get Germany, or Portugal.
Get punished for winning our group.
Yeah. Then if they win that in the quarterfinals...
On my wedding day, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. They are likely to play the winner from Group E, who are going to be Spain. So England's run might be...
It's horrible.
Yeah, it could be. So here's the argument about winning the group or not winning the group. I don't think... Because in the World Cup last time, if England would have won the group, theoretically, they would have had a harder run with the way...
I'm second in that group.
With the way it turned out. I think you've just got to try and win the games, mate, and then worry about you. But like I said, because it's at home, I'm a lot more confident because the game's at Wembley.
Yeah.
And I think that'll make a big difference. Right. So that's the groups then. Let's go with who you think is going to be the top scorer.
Depends how many penalties Harry Kane gets. I am going to go... I'm just going to get the groups back up. Because
I'm going to call it now. Lukaku is going to score a hatful in the groups and win it.
That's the only thing.
Scoring the goals in the group stage.
I also think... I'm Kylian Mbappe.
I don't think there's going to be a lot of goals in that group.
I think Kylian Mbappe will score. I think Benzema's a good outside shout as well.
Griezmann might score more than Mbappe.
Benzema. What about Benzema? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe.
That might be worth a punt on the betting.
Maybe. Okay, so I'm going for Lukaku. You're going for Mbappe. Yeah?
Mbappe, yeah.
Okay, so player of the tournament. I guess it all depends on who you think is going to win the tournament, really.
It's going to be from the winner.
Yeah, so I think it's likely to be somebody who plays for France, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah.
And, jeez, who'd you pick?
I'm going to pick
Kante.
Kante.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kante. He's been in insane form towards the end of the season. I mean, in the Champions League final, he was like a man possessed.
Yeah, N'Golo Kante.
And it's impossible to hate him.
Yeah, I know. It's impossible to hate him. But I will put this other player of the tournament out there, Phil Foden.
If England go far, he's going to have a big say in what we do.
Yeah, if we
he's
go
gonna
far.
He's going to have a big say if we go far. Okay, so your dark horse.
My dark horse to come up and win it all.
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be win it all. It doesn't have to be win it all, but just be a team that people aren't expecting to do well that may get to the semi-finals, for instance.
Turkey.
Yeah, that's exactly who I was going to go for.
Turkey or Poland, maybe. Poland.
I think Turkey. Yeah, Turkey are going to be sneaky this year. Okay, so let's call it now then. Who are your four semi-finalists? Now, don't worry about trying to figure out the roots of teams and stuff like that. Because otherwise we'll be here till midnight trying to figure that out this year. You pick the four teams that you think are going to be in the semi-finals.
France, Portugal, Italy, and Germany.
Okay, so the three teams from Group F are going to get to the semi-finals, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm going to go France.
Yeah.
I'm going to go England. I'm going to go Belgium. And I'm going to go Italy.
Okay, yeah. I'll be happy if I get three out of four.
Yeah.
I could get three out of four.
Italy, Belgium, England and France in the semi-finals. I wouldn't be saying England if we weren't playing most of our games at Wembley.
Okay. I get that. I see that.
But watch out for England in 2022 World Cup, though. I think they're going to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Flop, Croatia. They're not even going to get out of the group stages. I've got a bit of a love hate with Croatia. Anyway, I used to follow England home and away And went to a game in Croatia. I don't know, Ben, you may not remember this because it was probably back in 2004. You'd have probably only been about 6 months old then. when Gary Neville scored an own goal, back pass to Paul Robinson.
Back pass Paul Robinson.
And it went over
the bubble.
I was there for that game. Now, Croatia, the country, and the city, Zagreb, was beautiful. Amazing place.
Fans?
Well, do you know what? There was no trouble. Well, there was a little bit in the city, but managed to stay and avoid it. The atmosphere they create is amazing. But, yeah, so there's that. Then there was the 2007 knocking us out before we could qualify for the Euros, because that was the first.
Don't blame that on Croatia. Croatia.
That was the first tournament that I'd managed to be. I would have had tickets to all of the England games for that tournament because I'd managed to bank enough points in the travel club, and England didn't qualify. And then obviously there was 2018 where they shattered my heart. Harry Kane, if he could only score from 3 yards just before half time. We'd have won that. Anyway, let's not dwell on that. Croatia, old. They've got a lot of old players. I mean, Modric is still good. Perisic is still good. They've got the best defender in the world, Dejan Lovren, according to him. I just think they're old and they're not very good and they're not even going to get out of Group D.
Okay.
Yours?
Interesting. I'm torn between two, but I think they both will get out their group, but they will just massively flop in the first knockout stage.
Okay.
Netherlands, I think, without Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah.
They could have a lot of issues. That's
an underestimated absence, I think. He is a great defender.
Yeah, massive for them. And I think they will... They should use this competition to blood youngsters ready for the 2022 World Cup.
Yeah.
And I think England. I really hate to say it.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, Ben. I'm going to kick you from the thing and I'm going to do this podcast on my own from now on.
I think we could win our group and we will go straight out of the round of 16, what will be for a massive flop for the talent of this squad.
Well, like I said with you about Southgate, I hope you're wrong.
Oh, I do as well, but you've seen it all before.
There's nothing like setting your expectations low, only to see them exceeded 2 weeks later.
That's what I'm doing. That's all I'm doing.
Okay.
Reverse psychology there, mate.
Okay. Well, look. I remember once on our old UK Saints podcast, you backed the Falcons to win a game once, mate. So
I did. Reverse psychology.
Yeah. Right. So that's it, really. One final topic. We did touch on it before when we started talking about political things. Now, let's be careful about what we say now.
Yeah.
There's been some controversy here in the two friendly games, England games. The England players took a knee, which has been done for the whole of this season throughout the Football League and throughout football in general. So when the fans were allowed in for the two friendlies, some fans, a minority, it must be said, booed the players for taking a knee before the game. The manager and the players have come out and said, look, and they've given their reasons to why they do it. And it's not political. It is just showing solidarity and equality and all that kind of thing. Is this going to become the story of this tournament if England carry on? I mean, England have already said they're going to carry on doing it.
Yes. This will be the big debate following this competition, is that England will crash out. Was there all these distractions regarding taking the knee? And everyone's got their own opinion on it. I can see arguments on both camps. We're here to play a game of football. We live in a free country where people have the right to express themselves either way. And let's just get behind the team and cheer England on. We live in a country where we can express our views one way or another, and we should be grateful for that.
Yeah, no, I like you, I can see both sides to the argument, but you said about you're there to watch football. So my argument back to that point would be, how many games have you been to where the players have stood around the centre circle doing a minute silence before the game starts? What's the difference?
Yeah, loads.
What's the difference? They take a knee for 8 seconds.
Yes, I get that. It's like, I'm not saying I'm completely against taking
knee. No, I know you're not.
Yeah, I'm not before people start. You
know, I'm just doing the counter argument
and stuff like that. I get that, but I think because people see the knee as a political gesture, when actually it's more of a socialist gesture, a social gesture than a political one. And if you dig into everything too deep, you can go back and say, oh, there's politics behind it. The whole thing we have the poppy row years ago, where the FIFA wouldn't let us wear a poppy on the shirt because they said it was political. Was it political or was it social? And that's the argument you've got to look at and debate. And like I said, do what you want. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But, you know, is it...
We stand against racism, 100%. 100%. Stand against racism, stuff like that. And if this is a social way of them doing it, then fine, crack on. I'm against the politics side of it all. If it's social, yeah, crack on. Yeah.
Is it the fact that it's the taking of the knee that's the problem? So say they were to sit down for 8 seconds, or lie down for 8 seconds, or hop on one leg for 8 seconds.
Yeah, I think it is.
You think it's the taking of the knee?
Yes, because that was the symbol of the Black Lives Matter movement. They are now a political party in the UK, and that's why people now see it political, more than social.
Yeah.
And some of the political views were extremely extreme to one side, and that's what I think people take. You know, that's what people take.
I mean, my point that I was trying to raise was, is it's going to be an unwelcome distraction.
100%. And I don't want to talk about it. I want to talk about football. I want to talk about great goals. I want to talk about fans enjoying themselves and everyone coming through what's been a really shitty year and a half and actually enjoying themselves this summer.
That we agree on.
Yeah.
100% we agree on.
Yeah.
Cool. Right, I got a bit serious.
Yeah, it did.
But when
it
have
did.
We ever been on a podcast that's got serious? Jesus.
Absolutely. Yeah, never. But right. Hey, let's finish up and fingers crossed.
It's tournament eve, everybody. Go to sleep nice and early tonight and get up excited for Italy versus Turkey tomorrow. Then you've got Super Saturday. Three games on Saturday. Three games on Sunday. And then brilliantly, they put the Scotland game on at 2 o'clock on a Monday afternoon when everybody's at work and nobody wants to watch it.
I know, it's great, isn't it? It's very funny.
Right, anything else before we wrap up?
No. I'll tell you, I might have come across negative for England, but I am fully behind the boys. I really hope they go and prove me wrong and do it. I really hope they can really, really do it. But I've got my reservations. But come on, England.
One final question.
Yeah.
Coming home.
It's coming home.
Right. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. This has been the Dome Patrol United Premier League podcast Euros preview. There is a script that I need to follow, really, that I don't have about advertising all the other podcasts that we do. So please make sure you subscribe on your podcast listening apps. And check us out at Dome Patrol Network. We have the Saints flagship show podcast that will be starting up again soon as the Saints are starting to get into mini camp and we might be signing players and things like that soon.
We have money.
Well, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. We've got the Tiger's Den by Billy Gunn, which is our gambling stroke random story podcast. If you haven't listened to it, that's taken me over.
Tiger's Den.
I knew I'd screw it up. Yeah. Tiger's Den is Scott's LSU podcast. Check that out too, because that's really good. Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, which is the gambling stroke random story podcast. And Ben will back me up here. Make sure you go and listen to that because there are some sensational stories that Gunn and his friends tell on that podcast.
And me and Gunn might be getting together at some point during the Euros to talk a bit of betting for Euros as well.
So. Yeah, good. Keep an ear out for that one, everyone. And also we have the Pelican Plunge, and also we have BS and Beer. Dave Romero, Wes and his friends and cohorts talking about all things Saints. So please check us out. Find us all on this podcast app. We're all over Twitter. You know where to find us. And on that note, we're out. coming up.
Against Mexico, they got one. Two teams scored by Bobby Charlton.